Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Come on, let's give Jesus a big hand clap tonight. Can we worship him for one more moment tonight? Come on, let's worship him, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He was and is to come, who sits on the throne, and under the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and power forever and ever and ever and ever. And the church said, come on, why don't you turn to your neighbor and tell him you look like you've lost 20 pounds? Just, even if you got to lie to him, Jesus will forgive us and they'll come back. Amen. Be encouraged. Man, I'm so excited to be in Wasilla, Alaska. You can be seated. I love this church. I love y'all's pastors. Come on, let's give the Brackens a big hand clap. Love you. Some of my favorite people on the planet. Love the whole team. I love the Moroccos over here. Y'all, how many of y'all are thankful to have them in the house tonight, what they're doing? These have all been friends of mine for over a decade, and I'll tell you, I'm not a King's Church. I'm not a made man, but I'm glad to be a friend of the family. That's the way I say it. I love them. I feel like I'm with family, and I love this church. I've been coming here for like a decade now, and it's deeply impacted my life, and King's in general has impacted me through the power of prayer and faith and just the moving of the Holy Spirit, and all the other speakers here are incredible. I'm telling you, when you get this many prophets in the room. Come on, the prophets are here in Wasilla, Alaska. When you get this many prophets in the room, anything can happen. How many of y'all believe anything could happen in here tonight? And I'm glad to be with friends and family. I'm glad to see them, but I didn't just come here to be with friends and family. Come on, I came here to provoke a revival. I came here for a miracle. I came here for a move of God. I came here for a blessing. I came here to see God do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask, think, or imagine. How many are in agreement that God could move in this house tonight? Amen. Y'all want me to preach or prophesy? What do you want to do tonight? Jesse's like, don't say that to them. It's like asking them, do they want to eat green beans or do they want to have ice cream, right? She's like, don't do that, Brian. I want to prophesy a little bit. We're going to get into the Word of God. How many of y'all are thankful? Are you picking fleas off me? Thank you, love. It's what wives are for. It's Valentine's Day, amen? She grooms my beard, too. I got the best of all the worlds. I'm so thankful we got that new building by the Word of the Lord in Anchorage. Come on, we ought to celebrate. How many of y'all like it whenever the Word of God comes to pass? Hey, come on, we got a new building in Anchorage. And thus says the Lord, it's not the last building you'll have in Anchorage. For I've anchored your work in Anchorage, says God. Now I've given you a first fruit now, but there will be a second and there will be a third and there will be a fourth by my hand. Me, the God of heaven, am moving in Anchorage on your behalf. Watch what I will do in the next 36 months. I will bring my spirit. I will bring my power. I will move in Anchorage supernaturally, and there will be a massive move and a growth will come into that facility. And then I will bring a second wave and a second location into Anchorage, and then a third and then a fourth, and there will be four rivers that run by my hand into the garden of Anchorage, and I will make it a well-watered garden, and your sons and your daughters will bring forth great fruit in that city. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Come on, we declare it. Do you believe it out there, church? I declare more buildings coming in Anchorage. A Juno word? Build a church in Juno. Why are you waiting? I've already spoken to you, says God. Why are you waiting? 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 The hour is now, says God, for revival throughout the state of Alaska. Now I will hasten the work and I will multiply the work and I will go further, faster than you could imagine. And it'll even scare those in the room what I'm about to do. Because you'll say, how can we have the resources? How can we manage this? We don't have the leaders. We don't have the time. But I'm the God of the resources and I'm the God of the leaders and I'm the God of the timetable and I'm redeeming the time. The work of my hand will go further, faster in Alaska. So build a location, build a location, build a location. And build again, says God. Come on, somebody. Give God the highest praise. You guys, I just met you when I walked in here. And I know this. You've been in my church before. Yeah, in Amarillo, Texas, before I took it. Used to be called Victory Church. My father-in-law's Pastor David Brown. And you've been preaching to our kids for maybe a decade now or more, something like that. But I see, I'm looking at you and you guys have a replicable, like, there's a replication thing, a multiplication thing, and a training thing in your life that's supernatural. Now, I'm telling you, it's going to another level even now. God's even drawing higher level leaders around you guys supernaturally. And I'm not talking about some low level leaders. I'm not talking about people that can just pick stuff up. I'm talking about people that can carry the mail and have a weight of heaven behind them. I'm talking about revivalists. I'm talking about prophets. I'm talking about apostolic leaders that'll go into different places. Now, I see a footprint coming out of you, and I see a sun being planted in LA supernaturally, and Los Angeles will be blessed by the power of God. Then I see your DNA running up and down through California. San Diego will be touched. I'm telling you, cities will be touched all over California. And I also see a favor coming to the two of you that'll be with Christian television, and it'll be weird at first. You'll be like, that's not my flow. And you'll even be hesitant to do it. Not my flow, not my people, not my tribe, but God says I'm opening a big door for you in that situation. And you walk through it, and you sit at the seat I prepared for you. You watch what I will do, for I will do supernatural things in your midst, and I will get the glory through your life. And then the hand of God, there's like such a generational thing. You've been ministering to generations. And it's strong past you guys. Strong past you guys. And there are more doors of favor. You are a preaching machine, ma'am. You're a preaching machine. See it all over you. There's more. Jesse, will you come right here? Lay hands on her. There's more doors swinging open. Like bam, bam. I see them one after another, after another, after another, after another, after another, swinging open for you. And the glory of God will flow through you. And yes, every manner of man will recognize it too. Come on, somebody give God. Praise the Lord. I see you, my brother. God's a God. God's given you like a lot of chances in the past. Like a lot of chances. Am I right or am I right? Yeah. You're like a cat, right? You got like 9 lives. And you ought to stop pushing that. Amen. No more pushing it. But you've humbled yourself beneath my hand, says God. And you're positioning yourself for my blessing even now. Supernaturally, there's opportunity coming to you right now. And I'm talking about, I would say like new employment, but it's not new employment. It's new opportunity. There are doors swinging open for you that you need to walk through. And God's trying to put like resource in your hand. God's trying to put all sorts of new things in your hand, even new ideas, even new relationships, and even new monies, all right? So you walk through this door and you honor God, and I'm telling you what, the sky is the limit for your life. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I'll come right back. You want me to keep going right now? Keep prophesying? All right. Somebody lift a hand to heaven. Come on, let's go. You couple, stand up right there. Come on, stretch your hands towards them. Eshe, orabakash. There's a real call that's come upon you and it's on you. And it's even drawing you now. And God's changing things and rearranging things in your family and in your life, says God. For I'm the God that comes and I rearrange. And what I touch cannot stay the same. God's touching your lips with a new prophetic fire even now. I see people coming and sitting at your seat, and I see you teaching the word of God. I see your table full with those that are hungry for oil and wine, and you have both for them. God says, I put bread on the table. Your house shall never lack bread. You'll never lack bread. You'll never lack bread. You'll never lack bread. I declare it in Jesus' mighty name. Now I loose the power of God over you. There's signs of his presence coming into your house, ma'am. I see signs, supernatural signs, cannot even be explained. I see signs of oil that'll be in your house, that'll show up supernaturally. And people will say, what could this be? How did this get here? It'll be a sign of my blessing, says God, supernaturally. For I'm using you, and I'm pouring through you. God's going to use you. Men will be touched and blessed. Men will be touched and blessed. Then I see like brothers that are coming. They'll be restored in the house supernaturally. Brothers, coming. They'll be restored in the house supernaturally. I bless you. It's a time of supernatural favor over your lives. In the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody give God. Come on, somebody give God the highest praise. Hey, come on, somebody give God the highest praise. I mean, I believe Jesus is in the house tonight. Come on, I think we could have a move of God if you'll provoke it tonight. I think we could have a move of God if you'll provoke it tonight. I think we could have a move of God if you'll provoke it tonight. Hey, I think we could have a move of God. If you'll provoke, does anybody want a move of God out there? Listen, if you got lost vision or deaf ears, Jesus the healer is in the house. Lost vision or deaf ears, Jesus the healer ringing in your ears. Right now, just lay your hand on your eyes or on your ears. Right now, come on. Fetch you right now. Right now, come on, we're going to do some y'all want to do some Jesus stuff in here? Rabakarabakara. Come on, lay your hand on your eyes. Put your hand in your ears. Put your hand in your neighbor's ears. It'll make it even weirder, more fun. Amen? Come on, just put it right there. Shh. Come on, begin to pray in the Spirit for about 15 seconds. Watch what God will do. Come on, for about 15 seconds, pray strong in the Spirit. Watch what God will do. Hand on your eyes, hand in your ears. Be open. Be open. Be open. See. In the name of Jesus. Now, come on, give God the highest praise like it's already done. Come on, give God the highest praise like it's already done. Start to check your ears, check your eyes. Ringing in your ears is going to be gone. Volume in many of your ears is going to begin to pop up and go up. Ears are going to be open. Then eyes, vision is returning. Right now, check yourself out. If you're out there, you can tell a difference in your eyes or your ears. Wave at me right now, right where you are. Wave at me right now. Right there. Come on, give God that. Right there. Who else? Wave at me right now, however I can see you. Right there. Keep checking yourself out. Right there. Anybody else? Right over here. Come on, in the back. We got you back there. Come on. Somebody give Jesus the highest praise. He's a healer. Open up your Bibles. All right, you can be seated. Open up your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 21. And I want to take you to a text. You can stay right here with me, Minister Daniel. Stay right here with me. 2 Samuel chapter 21. And I want to set this up a little bit. This is a text where David has just taken over the kingdom of Israel. And there is a tough time in the kingdom of Israel. And in 2 Samuel 21, David's taken over the kingdom, but there's a famine in the land, and there's no rain falling. There's problems in the land. And how many of you know we've had some tough times in America over the last 5 years? How many of you remember some time that we needed some rain in the land, and we needed some help in the land? We needed some blessing in the land. Went through something, a little deal, the C word. I won't even say it out loud because I'm tired of it 4 or 5 years ago. Y'all remember that? You remember whenever they tried to close down our churches and tell you can't come to church? Remember whenever they tried to make you wrap your head in some sort of burqa everywhere you went, keep your face covered? How many of you remember when they started burning down our cities? Y'all remember that? Had some tough times. There was a famine in the land. You know what we should do whenever we have a famine in the land or tough times in the land? How many of y'all think we ought to inquire of the Lord? We ought to inquire of the Lord. So what David does, 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1, says this: Now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord. And the Lord answered, Is it because of Saul? And his blood, it is because of Saul and his bloodthirsty house, because he killed the Gibeonites. So the king called the Gibeonites and spoke to them. Now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. The children of Israel had sworn to protect them, but Saul had sought to kill them in his zeal for the children of Israel and Judah. Therefore David said to the Gibeonites, What shall I do for you? And with what shall I make atonement that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites, they said to him, We will have no silver or gold from Saul or from his house, nor shall you kill any man in Israel for us. So he said, Whatever you say, I will do for you. Then they answered the king, As for the man who consumed us and plotted against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the territories of Israel, let 7 men of his descendants be delivered to us. We will hang them before the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord chose. Here's what happens. David has trouble in the land. Come on, everybody say trouble in the land. It's trouble in the land, and David begins to inquire of the Lord. God, show us why we have this trouble. Show us what's going on. And God speaks to Saul, or speaks to David. How many of y'all believe that God will speak to us and tell us where to make corrections if we'll ask him? Can I get an amen? You want to get God talking to you? You ask him, God, what can you do for me? What do I need to do? What do I need to change? God speaks up and he tells David, listen, there's a curse on the land because you guys broke your covenant with the Gibeonites. You made a covenant with these people when he came in the land that you wouldn't harm them. And Saul became bloodthirsty, and because of his bloodthirst, he began to slaughter them for the zeal of Israel. How many know our God is a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God? Our God promises things. How many of y'all believe our God brings them to pass and he watches over the word to perform it? Amen. How many are thankful that God doesn't change his covenant with us every day? How many are thankful our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Come on, his word never changes. It is yes and amen. You can take it to the bank. If he spoke it, we believe it. Can I get an amen out there, right? So they made a covenant between Israel and Gibeah, and they broke it. So David goes over to the guys and says, listen, what can we do to make this right? What can we do to make it right? What can I do to remedy this between me and you? There are people under the sound of my voice who have problems right now with covenant brothers and sisters. Hear the word of the Lord. You ought to go to them and do everything within your power to make it right between you and them. How many churches could we save if people who had problems with one another would go to one another and try to make things right instead of assassinate each other and try to tear down the house of God? Can I get an amen? Go and make it right. Come on, turn to your neighbor and tell them, make it right, make it right. They say, what can we do? And he said, Saul is killed these people, so we need 7 of his descendants. Everybody say 7. What we're going to do with these 7 descendants is we're going to take them and we're going to kill them. And that's exactly what they did. David said yes, and he took 7 of Saul's descendants, and they took them and they hung them before the Lord. And all of these men lost their lives, the descendants of Saul. So Gibeonites and the Israelites could have peace before one another. And there's a woman in this story that shows up in verse 10. Here's what it Here's what it says. I want you to go down to verse 10 in the same chapter. A woman shows up right after this. And it's funny that David's mentioned and Saul's mentioned. The Gibeonites are mentioned. And now all of the prophetic picture in the eye and the lens goes on one female by the name of Rizpah. Here's how it reads. It says, and it's some of her sons that died. It says, now Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, took sackcloth and spread it for herself on the rock. From the beginning of the harvest until the late rains poured on them from heaven. And she did not allow the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beast of the field by night. And David was told what Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, the concubine of Saul, had done. Her two boys had been slaughtered and killed out of these seven men. They were left on a certain place to die, their bodies exposed. And that's where this woman shows up. Can you think about a more gory, gruesome, or painful scene almost anywhere in the Bible? Here's a mama with her two dead sons laid on a rock, killed by the king. Nothing she could do to stop it. This thing had happened. And here's what this woman does. Her name is Rizpah. She goes out where the bodies of her boys are. The Bible says she takes sackcloth and she spreads it out on a rock there by the bodies. First thing I want you to see is she takes sackcloth and she spreads it out. What is sackcloth a symbol of all throughout the Old Testament? Sackcloth is a symbol of repentance and prayer and humbling yourself before God. How many of y'all think we could use some humbling and some repentance and some prayer and us getting smaller in our own eyes and our God getting larger in our eyes? Can I get an amen out there? How many of y'all think that might proceed to revival? That might proceed to awakening? That might proceed to God doing something big in our midst? She takes sackcloth and she puts it out. It's amazing all throughout the scriptures, again and again and again. If you see that word sackcloth, it's mourning. Sackcloth is repentance. Sackcloth is intercession. How many are thankful that we're a part of a church that gets up every morning and intercedes before God? Come on, you ought to give the people of KC, give them a big hand clap for getting up and praying for us, loving us. Come on, somebody calling our names out before the Lord. You know why this church has so many locations? It's because you pray, because you seek God. Amen? Dr. Morocco's released that into so many of our lives. Being around him makes me want to pray more. Doc will come over to my church to preach, and some of the questions he'll ask me is, how much did you give last year, son? He wants to know if I'm giving money. I think that's a good question. I think we ought to have a time where we ask everybody in the church that, how much you give last year? You're getting nervous on me out there now, amen? And he's like, is it more than the year before? Then he'll ask me, how much are you praying? Come on, turn to your neighbor and ask him, how much are you praying? After that, he'll ask me, are you being nice to Jesse? If you're not nice to Jesse, God will kill me. I think that's what Doc thinks about it anyway when I talk to him. Amen? But there's something about that prayer mantle that's on his life. You've heard him tell the story about how he couldn't pray years ago when he was a young man. His father passed away. Somebody at the funeral tells him, hey, there's a new anointing coming on your life. And he said the next morning he wakes up and his eyes just pop open. I think it's like 4 or 5 in the morning. I want my wake up call about 7:30 whenever God calls me to pray. Can I get an amen out there? I don't want Doc prayed for me. And I said, can I get my call a little later than you? And prayed for me and something happened when he prayed. Come on, you know why we're in this building in Wasilla right now? It's because of sackcloth. You know why we got a new building in Anchorage? Come on, somebody. It's because of sackcloth. You know why this network's going further, faster than it ever has before? Come on, somebody. It's because of sackcloth. Can I get an amen? Look at revivals of past years. It's always sackcloth. Repentance always produces revival. Prayer always produces revival. Whenever we seek God like that, that's when revival comes. The first great awakening, think about it, Jonathan Edwards and the Whitfields, all of these guys, they start moving across the nation. They call people to repentance and prayer, and the power falls. There's a massive businessman's revival in 1857 in America. One guy got inspired that businessmen ought to pray. He thought about sackcloth. He thought about repentance. He thought about prayer. And he got six guys to show up and pray one day for lunch. After that, it went from six guys to like 30 guys to hundreds of guys to thousands of guys, and it swept through cities. They record that men would pull into the harbor of New York, going to put a boat down. The power of God would knock people down whenever they came, even into the waters, because of the power of prayer. 1859, there was a massive revival in a village called Ulster. Within a year, over 100,000 people converted in Northern Ireland. You know how it started? It started because somebody laid some sackcloth on a rock. Come on, somebody. The Azusa Street Revival started with humility and prayer. God poured out his spirit on L.A., and here we are, tongue-talking Pentecostals in 2026 because somebody would pray and seek God. The Welsh Revival, God touched Evan Roberts' heart, and he began to emphasize sin and surrender to God. Repentance, sackcloth. You know what happened? Bars closed. Crime dropped. And entire regions began to be changed by the power of God. Listen. What we need in America is a return to the fear of the Lord. What we need in America is sackcloth. What we need in America is repentance. What we need in America is to turn from our wicked ways. How many of y'all believe that God could heal our land if we would begin to cry out and pray? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, he'll hear from heaven and he'll come and heal our land. Come on, give God the highest praise if you think he's going to heal our land. Second thing I see she did, this lady by the name of Rizpah, she doesn't just throw her sackcloth anywhere. Come on, she lays her sackcloth on the rock. Somebody say on the rock. Whenever all hell's broke loose, there's only one place you better build your life. You better build your life on the rock. How many know there's one rock that'll never be shaken? There's one rock that'll never be cracked. There's one rock that'll never fall apart. Man, you fall on that rock, you'll be saved. The stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Do you know where Christ died, where the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus happened? Many scholars believe it's an old quarry right there. And it was a quarry they used to build in Jesus' day around that area. You know, they would quarry out the rock and they would build the buildings. You go to Jerusalem, not a lot of wood there, but there's a whole lot of rock. They say there was a quarry, and they said the stone of that quarry is not fit to build with. They stopped using it to build buildings. Isn't it interesting? That's one of the same places where Jesus was crucified, is at that quarry. Come on, somebody. The stone the builders have rejected prophetically, the stone the builders rejected in Israel has now become the chief cornerstone. Our rock is Jesus. Our rock is the Lamb which was slain from the foundation of the world. Come on, our rock is worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. David said, "The Lord is my rock." Isaiah said, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation." Peter quoted that again. Paul wrote and said that rock was Christ. I don't know about you, but if we're going to see the land restored, we're going to have a Jesus revival. We don't need another laughter revival. I don't think we need another healing revival. I don't think we need a prophetic revival. I think we need a Jesus revival. And if we have a Jesus revival, everything else is going to line up and it's all going to be here. Can I get an amen? Jesse and I, we saw some revival come through our church the last couple of years. Pretty amazing things happened. I preached about it here before in 2023, but pretty amazing things happened. And honestly, my life was pretty rough at that point. Right before revival came, man, the world came after us. And I don't know, some of you know my story, some of you may not, but I got involved back in 2020 whenever they locked the churches down. And I kind of believe that we don't live in Iran and we don't live in North Korea and we don't live in China. Come on, somebody. We live in the United States of America and we have a First Amendment protection. And no governor should be able to tell you to shut your church. I said no governor should be able to tell you to shut your church. Come on, politicians don't tell prophets what to do. Prophets tell politicians what to do. And I got vocal. And I pushed back. And I took on the governor of the state of Kentucky. We have churches in Kentucky and churches in Texas. Have a pretty good, decent governor in Texas. Had a terrible communist governor, still do, in Kentucky. As a matter of fact, he got on The View this last week and said that he vetoed legislation to stop children from stopping gender mutilation and chemical castration. He vetoed that, where that could keep going in Kentucky. Come on, prophesy. He's getting removed. Y'all hear the word of the Lord here? Andy Beshear is getting removed. Thus saith the Lord, by the prophet on the front row. Come on, somebody give God the highest praise. Your days are numbered. Here's what he did. He gets up, takes the golden rule. And he said, the reason I vetoed that legislation that would stop the chemical castration of boys and gender mutilation is because of the golden rule. Do unto others what you would have do unto you. You know what that is? That is a false prophet. People are asking me all the time, what's a false prophet? Somebody that misses a word? No, that's a wrong prophet. I've met a few wrong prophets, and that's okay. I got grace. I think the greatest prophet's bad at 90%. They see through a glass dimly. They know in part, they prophesy in part. All right, I'm not talking about the glass we have today. It's Roman glass. Everybody say Roman glass. Hard to see through. You can dig it up all over Israel. I buy it for my wife and my kids, right? It's dim. You don't see things fully. So there are some people that will get a prophecy wrong. That does not make them a false prophet. Makes them wrong about something. How many of y'all, we got grace one for another? Can I get an amen? Come on. Y'all give God a big hand clap. He is the God of all grace. But then there's a false prophet. It's one that would intentionally deceive. It's one that would twist the scripture to back their agenda against the will of God. All right? I think we have to call that out, and we have to prophesy against that boldly and loudly as the men and the women in the church of God. So I did that back a few years ago during the lockdowns, and woke up one day on Fox News, woke up on all these outlets. I became a voice crying for that. And with that came great blowback, and life got tough. Talking, the government came after me. I had people breaking into my house. 1,400 death threats in 1 week. Children had to have like special operator security with them all the time. Stuff got tough, and it started to crush me. And to be honest, some of my perspective probably wasn't right at that point in my life. I probably needed some sackcloth and some ash. Tell me, you know, the people that you're called to prophesy, if you start to hate them instead of loving them, how many know it's going to be pretty hard to save them? Can I get an amen? Come on, follow after love. Desire spiritual gifts, especially that you might prophesy. How many think if we let the love of God roll, all the miracles would take care of themselves? Can I get an amen? Love is the principal thing. So I get just tore up. Jesse started praying, started believing God for a revival to come to our church. Our oldest daughter was about to go to ORU, and we'd had success in our churches. Our churches had grown. We've seen miracles. We've been in, like, you know, fastest growing churches magazine and all that stuff. But we'd never been a part of a revival that somebody would write a book about. And Jesse started praying, God, I pray that you send a revival. Send a revival that our babies get to see that somebody might write a book about. Like the Azusa Street revival, like the Welsh revival. How many of y'all don't just want to read about revival? How many of y'all want to live in the midst of a revival that somebody might write a book about? Amen? She started coming and falling down on the altar, praying. Anytime she'd walk through the church house, through the sanctuary, she'd fall down on the altar and pray. It might be for hours. It might be for 2 minutes. Started training her worship team to do the same. I would walk through the church house, and there were always people laying at the altar. Might be Tuesday at 3 o'clock. Somebody just walk in and fall at the altar. Come on, somebody. How many of y'all think we ought to spread out some sackcloth and spread out some sackcloth in our churches and in our houses and in our place of business? How many of y'all think God might start to move? And we prayed like that. She prayed. I didn't even know that I was a part of the prayer back then. I was mad. Now, I come into a service one day, And she's up leading worship in the church service. And she stops and she says, I have a word from the Lord. And she begins to prophesy. She says, I'm supposed to tell somebody in this house, you'll live and not die, and you'll declare the works of the Lord. Now I'm on the front row looking up at her, and I'm like, well, that's a good scripture, honey, but I wouldn't have shut the whole service down for that. She's looking back down at me like, come on, Brian, you're wrong. How many of y'all can communicate with your spouse telepathically? Y'all know what I'm talking about? She's like, you're wrong. I'm like, no, you're wrong. Well, 8 minutes later, a guy drops dead in the balcony of the church. How many of y'all think that word, you'll live and not die, declare the works of the Lord, it matters now when the bodies hit the floor? Can I get an amen? Come on, we go running up there. Everybody's praying. I'm broadcasting to multiple locations. Everybody's praying. If my people are called by my name, humble themselves and pray. How many know God will do something? So about 8 or 9 minutes we pray. I walk up into the balcony. There's the guy laying. How dead was he? I don't know, but he looked pretty dead to me, and they thought he might be dead. And I walk up. I scoot back to medical people. I get up by this guy. I point at him and I say, listen, I agree with what was prophesied. You're going to live and not die, and you'll declare the works of the Lord. I rebuke death and I command life into you. And whenever I said life, all of a sudden his eyes pop back open. He sucked air into his lungs. Come on, somebody. He sat up and he said, I'm fine. Hey, Jesus is the resurrection. I said, Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the resurrection. I said, Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the resurrection. And he is the life. And a revival came into that church. Not that day, but within the next month. Your pastor was there with me. We were doing a conference. He preached one day. Next day, he and I were sitting in a church service together. There were two other preachers in the room with us. We're sitting there, and all of a sudden, angels came into the room. Started physically touching us. Something touched me on the back. I turn around to see what's by us. And man, there's nobody there. I thought my kids were messing with me or something. I'm looking for my boy Justice. I'm seeing somebody's messing with me. Nobody's there. Then all of a sudden, Pastor Daniel starts laughing like a crazy man beside me. Turns around to me, Pastor does. And he said, Brian, something is touching me in this room. And he said, I think angels are touching me. Jesse on the other side of me jumped a minute later and said, something just touched me. There was another preacher who's holding down my fort in Amarillo right now, was standing in the pulpit while we're doing that on the front row. He stopped and he said, there are angels in this room and they're starting to touch people. And I'm telling you, every kind of miracle and healing and supernatural things started to break out. Deaf ears opened up. Come on, the blind saw. Cancers were healed. Hearts were put back together. I'm talking people wouldn't leave the church at night. You got to stop. And finally, it was like, you don't have to go home. It was like the bar, closing time. We play closing time. You have to go home, but you can't stay here. Can I get an amen? You gotta get out of here now. Or y'all stay, but I'm going home. Whatever we have to do. In the midst of that revival, man, God started touching and changing everything. This lady took sackcloth, Rizpah. She took sackcloth and she lays it down on a rock. Come on, how many of y'all agree with me? We need Jesus. Come on, how many of y'all, we need Jesus more than we need anything else. The longer I live, the more, the only thing I really care about is Jesus and my family. Other stuff doesn't really matter, does it? The conferences don't matter. Who knows my name doesn't matter. Whether I got money in my pocket, I'd rather have money. It's more fun to be broke, to be on a Bentley than to be on a bicycle broke. Can I get an amen? It's more fun. But the money and everything, Jesus is everything. And I preached a sermon one night in the midst of that revival. I was so tired, was out of gas, had a bunch of people there. I'm totally wrecked and exhausted. And I was going to have to go in and minister that night. And I told God, I'm like, God, I need somebody to come over and help me. I don't think I can preach anymore. I don't think I can prophesy anymore. I can't lay hands on anybody else. I need your help. And as I was doing that, I need your help, oh God. And all of a sudden, Jesus spoke to me. God spoke to me. And he said this. He said, Brian, son. I said, yeah, Lord. He said, tonight, you need somebody to help you? I said, yeah. He said, tonight, Brian, can I be your special guest at church? I said, yeah, Jesus. Come on. How many of y'all want Jesus to be? Come on, come on. Somebody ought to lift a hand to heaven if you want Jesus to be our special guest. I preached a sermon that night entitled Behold the Lamb. And I was talking about John the Baptist seeing Jesus. And I was going through everything the Lamb was in the scriptures. And I started going down in the altar to minister to people. And I'm walking through the altar. Now I'm talking about the Lamb, and I'm praying that we get a fresh revelation of Jesus. And I'm sweating to the oldies because sweating is my spiritual gift, and I prophesy a little bit, right? I'm up there sweating, so I got my sweat rag in my hand, and all of a sudden I'm looking at people to my left I'm praying for. I look to my right. Now I've heard guys talk about this, but I've never had an experience like this. When I look back to my right, Jesus is standing in the altar. I saw him physically, and I couldn't see his face, but he turns and he looks at me. Whenever he looked at me, every cell in my body caught fire. And he could see every part of me. I don't know how to explain it. I don't have words to do it justice, but it was like he was looking through every part of me. And he could see the good, and he could see the bad, he could see the ugly. He could see it all. But all I saw from his eyes was love and redemption and restoration. I could kind of see his eyes, but not his face. Whenever I saw him, it's on video. It so shook me to the core. I took my sweat rag, I'm looking to the right, and I cover my face and I just crumble. I melt almost. Just right there, there are people waiting to be prayed for. And then I kind of get my composure. I still got this thing on my face. I look back to the right, and he steps over. And he stepped on top of me. And it was like he clothed me in himself. You know the scripture where it says we're in Christ? Come on. We're in Christ and Christ is in us. You know how it says put on the Lord Jesus Christ? It was like I literally put on the Lord Jesus Christ in that moment. I don't know if it's a vision or what it was, but the power of God entered into that room. And all of a sudden the glory just came. And I'm covered. I can't hardly walk or talk. And everybody I walk by, the power of God comes in that room. Man, people everywhere, I'd get close to them and bam, they go down everywhere. The glory of God invaded our church, invaded my house. I got to where I didn't want to do anything else but pray. Right, my kids would come out at night. I'm sitting at my table, my cup of coffee, I'm praying. I like to golf. I like to have a good time. I didn't care about any of that anymore. All I care about is being with Jesus. And the glory of God started to change me and rearrange me. Come on, church, what we need to do, we need to get our life back on the rock. We need to get committed to Jesus. We need passion for him. Not just another word. Come on, somebody, not just another miracle. Not just another blessing. But the Lamb of God. I want to build my life on the rock of ages. Come on, somebody give God the highest praise if you want to build your life on the rock of ages. This woman, Rizpah, she brings out sackcloth. She lays it on a rock. Then the Bible says she begins to fight off birds of the air. They come after the bodies of her son. There are birds that show up. Come on, church, we're not going to let the birds of the air steal our blessing, are we? We're not going to let the devil take what God has given us. We're not going to lose the goodness of God or the glory of God in our life. We're going to fight away the birds. Can I get an amen? At night, she would fight away the beasts of the field. Started fighting against the beasts. Beasts would come to try to tear the prey, and she would fight them away and push against the beasts of the field. She fought that way for months. The Bible says she fought that way from when the harvest began until when the latter rain began to fall. Scholars say it could have been 5 to 6 months that this woman was out there in the fire, right? Fighting away the beasts of night, fighting away the birds of the air, holding on to what was hers. There are people under the sound of my voice. You've been through some real tough, trying times. And it feels like you've lost some battles. This woman had lost some children. But you know what she started to do? She started to fight for what's left. Telling you what you need to do, church. If you've been through hell and you feel like you've lost some battles, come on, everything is not yet lost. You ought to be like a Rizpah, and you ought to go out and you ought to fight for what's left. How many of y'all think our families are worth fighting for? Come on, do you think our marriages are worth fighting for? Does anybody think our nation is worth fighting for? How about our sons and our daughters? Are they worth fighting for? We ought to fight for what's left. we can have something. You know, she fought for what was left so much. She's out there so long. The Bible says that word of it goes to David the king. The king hears about this woman that won't give up, keeps fighting and hanging out around her body, keeps putting out the sackcloth, stays on the rock. Telling you what, if you'll stay on the rock, you don't have to try to manipulate God to get what you want. God's going to hear about you. You don't have to go find God. God found Rizpah. David, the king, found Rizpah. Rizpah didn't have to go find David. She's right there doing what she's called to do. Something about praise and worship and building a life on Jesus. How many know it attracts the eye of the king? Come on, the eye of the king is on this church, and the eye of the king is on your life. The eye of the king is in this house. Can I get an amen today? The eye of the king comes. Here's what you need to do whenever you're doing your thing. And I'd say it like this. You want the eye of the king? You know, I think it's like a wide receiver. Somebody's running a route in football. We had this little game last week called the Super Bowl. I don't know if you watched it or enjoyed the halftime show, because I'm a big Bad Bunny fan. I just can't get enough of that. Amen. You know, big Bad Bunny fan. So if you were watching, but I love football. I played it from the third grade till I graduated. I don't watch it anymore because I got tired of stuff like Bad Bunny. Amen. But, you know, it's not for long for me. I'm not watching. But I remember back in the day when guys played football, and back when they still hit quarterbacks, when they still tackled, and when they still went after people. How many of y'all remember football whenever it was fun, it was brutal before you got all the stuff you have now? I loved it back then, right? But I remember there was Joe Montana. And then Montana had one of the greatest wide receivers in history, Jerry Rice. How many are old enough to remember Joe Montana and Jerry Rice? Let me see your hands out there. Yeah. All right. Some of you gray-headed folks know who I'm talking about. But here's what Jerry Rice, they won three Super Bowls together, right? Rice caught like more touchdown passes than almost anybody else, more yardage completed. And they asked Rice one time, I was watching him interview him, how do you become such a great receiver? And he said, well, number one, you got to be at the right place at the right time. Come on, how many of y'all want to be at the right place at the right time to receive from God? Amen. Come on, you're at church on a Saturday night on Valentine's Day. You are at the right place at the right time to receive from God. Amen. Second, you gotta keep your eye on the ball. Don't get distracted. Don't let anybody get you off what you're called to do. Come on, turn to your neighbor. Tell them, get your eye on the ball. Get it on the ball. Amen. Number three, if you want to catch something, Jerry Rice said whenever he got where he was supposed to go, he would tell Montana all the time, listen, Montana, you throw me the ball, I'll make you look good. Throw me the ball, I'll make you look good. I think God's looking for some men and women to throw the ball to. The question I have is, will you make him look good whenever you catch the ball? Will you make him look good? Whenever you get blessed, are you going to keep telling the world about Jesus? You're going to keep paying off the church buildings? You're going to come to the prosperity church that made you and the pastor that prophesied the blessing over you? Or are you going to get mad and go somewhere else? Come on. How many of y'all want to make him look good when he throws us the ball? Rice said this, if you want him to throw you the ball, you got to get your hands up. Come on, once you're open, get your hands up. Let Montana see. How many of y'all think we ought to get our hands up and let Jesus see that we're open? What did Rizpah do? Man, she had her hands up. She was worshiping. She was fighting. She was building on the rock. She had the sackcloth laid out. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands without wrath, without doubting. This is a powerful posture if you'll get your hands up. Doesn't matter if everything's not perfect. Sometimes when I don't know what to do, don't know what to say, don't know what to prophesy, I just lift up both my hands. I'll stand there with them up. God, can you see me? Can you hear me? Here I am. I think those are the kind of people that catch the ball. Right? The king's attention goes. David goes, sees that woman, goes and collects all the bones and gives them a proper burial. Come on, the king is moving on our behalf. Wasilla, the king is moving in your life. The king is moving in your marriage. The king is moving for your family. Get your hands up, he sees you. The last thing it says that after David buries all the bodies. Says that God heeded his prayer, and he came and he healed the land. This woman brought healing to an entire land. She ended a 3-year drought, right? Because of her persistence, because of her repentance, because of her building her life upon the rock. 3 years of drought was ended. Come on, I think we can have a revival right now in America. I don't say revival is coming. Come on, I prophesy that revival is already here. Stop saying revival is coming. We ought to say it's already here. Can I get an amen? Come on, somebody give God the highest praise if you believe we can have revival in Wasilla. I believe we can have revival in Anchorage. I believe we can have revival in Maui. I believe we can have revival in Chile. I believe we can have revival in California. I'm telling you, revival's not coming. Revival is here. Can I get an amen? We saw a revival sweep through our church. God spoke to me. Listen, the dead were raised 2 times in front of the crowd. 2 different people dropped dead. Saw them raised. Just this last week, I saw a young man walk into the church. First time I saw his family, his dad came in the midst of that revival on the back row. I looked at him, word of the Lord came to me. I said, I see you, sir, back there. I'm looking at you. There's been like a death unto you. It's like a death, like a rip your guts out death. You don't know if you can go forward. They say you'll never walk again. They say they'll never talk again. But I say, I'm coming and I'm touching you, says the Lord, and I'm touching your situation. And he will walk again and he will talk again. And it may be like a Jacob with a limp, but I will restore, says the Lord. And I prophesied to him. I didn't even know what I was talking about. He came up after the service. He said, Pastor, you don't know what just happened. I said, what? Tell me. I don't know what happened either. He said, my son was accidentally shot in the head with a shotgun. And he's on life support in Denver right now. And they told me he would never walk again. He would never talk again. He was a vegetable. We ought to not have him operated on and let him go. But you came here and you just told me that he would walk again and he would talk again and he would live again. Amen. Come on, come on. You're going to walk again, church. Hey, I prophesy you're going to talk again. I prophesy you're going to live again. I declare life over you in Jesus' mighty name. Daddy came walking in like, I forgot, 6 months later. I didn't see him after that. Came walking in, wheeling in. And had a boy with him in a wheelchair. And I stopped the service. They're coming in. I'm like, wait a minute, wait a minute. I saw him coming through. I said, are you the guy I prophesied to way back when? And he said, yeah. And I walked down and I said, you gotta tell me the story. What happened? I got the mic, crowds there, everything, you know, just going off the cuff, rolling with it. And I walk over and the boy grabs the mic. And he says, the devil tried to kill me, but God said, no. Come on, somebody. God said, no. The devil tried to kill me, but God said, no. Last week, I'm sitting in the church house, and he came walking up. That boy came walking up to me on his own 2 feet out of that wheelchair, walking and talking. A miracle. Come on, revival isn't coming. I said, revival isn't coming. Revival isn't coming. It's not coming. It's here. It's here. If you'll receive it, it's here in Wasilla. Man, I prophesied to our church back then when the revival kicked off. God spoke to me and said, I'll give you a revival for 3 years in your church if your people will receive it. Everybody say if. If your people will receive it. 3 years. So I got up. We prophesied at every location. Poured out oil in front of the house. All of my pastors at their location prophesying revival for 3 years if you'll receive it. Best I can tell thus far, they received about 20 months of it. Best I can tell, about 20 months. And I hope they kick it back into gear. If you're watching right now, I hope you kick it back into gear. But God wants to awaken America, and he's looking for a body of believers somewhere that'll receive what he wants to do. Will you receive it in Wasilla, Alaska? Will you receive it in this house? Will you receive it at Kings? I'm telling you, God will do it here supernaturally if you will receive it. Can I get an amen? Come on, somebody stand up on your feet. Give God the highest praise tonight. Hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to lay hands on everybody that wants to be prayed for. We'll lay hands on every person in the room here in a little bit. All right? Pastor Daniel said that's what we're going to do. Now I feel the power of God starting to swell. Somebody ought to lift a hand to heaven right now. I feel the power of God starting to swell. All of us preachers are going to come. We're going to lay hands on you. There'll be miracles. There'll be signs. There'll be wonders. There'll be strange things that is going to start to happen. Strange things. Things that make you wonder, they'll start to happen. Lift a hand to heaven. Do you want it? We're going to have it in a second. Father, I thank you that prepare our hearts for revival.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.